Little book of Colossians chapter 4. It's one of those letters from Paul. He writes it when he's in prison. If only he could have said it face to face, he would have. But he couldn't at the time. He was in prison. So he took up his pen and he said, I just want you to know these things. I just want you to know how to set your heart. I just want you to know how to set your mind. I just want you to know how to sort of take your own spirituality in check and become the person God has called you to be. So we've seen this over the last several weeks. We've seen Paul just sort of lead us through these steps that we can take to set our hearts and to set our minds and find ourselves squarely in Jesus. And we come to chapter 4, beginning at verse 2, and he just says, look, I want you to devote yourselves, which implies to me that this is an active process, not a passive thing that just happens. Some of us have waited a long time in our Christianity for God to just make something happen. And if you've been waiting very long, you may begin to despair. Is it ever going to happen for me? I see these people that are really caught up. I see these people who are getting it right. I see these people who are living it out. But somehow it's never quite connected for me. I've never been able to make the pieces come together. And Paul tells us today, look, he said, I want you to devote yourselves. Press in. Press on. Take this up. Decide. This is what I want. This is what I long for. I long to be found in Christ. I long to be caught up in Him. I want to live my Christian life with a sense of return on investment. Don't you? I mean, with just this sense of what are you going to invest yourself in that is going to give you that return? And for me, for a long time now, it kind of grows out of how God wired me up. And maybe this resonates with you. If it doesn't, that's okay. But you seek the Lord for what is the main thing. Lord, what are you calling me to? What is the depth? What is the breadth? What is it that you're calling me to? For me, I just want to live a God-centered life. I don't want to be lagging behind so God has to drag me along. I don't want God to be pulling me back because I'm going off in my own directions. I want to live a God-centered life in a right now relationship with God. One of the authors I really love, he talks about developing this conversational intimacy with God, where you speak to God and you know He hears you and you listen. And sometimes He gives you a very direct response, this God-centered living. And honestly, treasuring the people that God puts in my life. Not just putting up with people. There are some people in life you put up with, right? Right? This is just us. We're telling the truth. But what if you could develop a heart that says, no, Lord, may I see the people that you bring in my life. May I see them through your lens. May I get this glimpse. C.S. Lewis talked about it, how if only you could see every person that you encounter through the God lens, you fall to your knees and worship thinking, man, God is so at work in the lives of everyone you meet. Lord, would you give me your eyes for the people around me? Because some of those people become the precious ones through whom God speaks. Giving and receiving grace with each other, because nobody gets it right all the time. You don't, I don't. Nobody gets, but just to live this devoted life to being a God-centered, genuinely treasuring, giving and receiving grace with one another. Just loving God and loving each other. It's huge. It's huge. Loving God, loving each other. So that not only am I living this connected life with God, but I'm helping other people find that too. People who matter to me. Helping people that I genuinely care for find the power switch in their life. How do you connect to God? How do you find yourself in that conversational intimacy with God? How do you find yourself living that right now relationship with God? And not only connecting people to God, but also connecting people to each other. I mean, these are the things we talk about around here all the time. And maybe because they're the things that roll easily off of my tongue. But I'm just telling you, this seems to me to be the thing that I want to invest my life in. Connecting people with God, connecting people with each other, helping them find the touch points in the faith, helping people find their tribe, find my people, find the people who hold dear what I hold dear, people who value what I value, people who want to give themselves to the things that I long to give myself to. And then frankly, connecting to the outside world, and we put it in air quotes because, man, I hate the idea of the us-them breakdown. I hate the idea of dividing the world into us and them. But can I tell you a place where we must do that? It's when we see people. You see somebody that you genuinely love. I mean, somebody that you don't want to go to heaven without. A son or a granddaughter, a husband or a wife, somebody that you love so dearly and so deeply, but they don't know Jesus yet, and they've not connected yet with God. They don't have that right now relationship, that conversation. And you see those people and you just know, you're floundering. You're floundering. And if only you could find what we found in Jesus, not because I get it right, not because I got something you don't have, but I do have this longing heart desire to find my life in Jesus. And when I talk about outsiders, I'm not talking about a socioeconomic divide. I'm not talking about an ethnic divide. I'm not talking about a religious divide. I'm talking about people who know Jesus and those who don't yet, especially the people that I love and long for. How do I help them find their place in the Lord? And so I want to take you there in this Colossians 4 passage. But before we go there, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can turn there or you don't have to. But Sarah, would you track me through this so I don't have to flip my slides? It's not actually written out in verbatim. So you're just going to have to track me as I read it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's one of the most foundational passages in all of Scripture. It says this, I've written over the numbers, so I don't know where it begins. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again. We're not trying to commend ourselves, but we're giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we're out of our mind, you may look when Bryce and Gretchen and the team is leading us in worship, you may see me up here and you think, that guy's a nut job. You may look and you say, I don't care where I have to sit as long as I don't have to sit next to him on any given Sunday. You may think we're out of our mind. If we're out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we're in our right mind, it is for you. I love this line, for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. How important is the notion of Christ's love in your heart? Is it a driving factor? Is it a driving factor in your decision making? Is it a driving factor in your career choices? Is it a driving factor in your relationships with the people who are closest to you? For Christ's love compels us. We're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, he says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Do you know what that means? Regarding people from a worldly point of view, you look at how they're dressed, you look at what they drive, and you decide how important they may or may not be. He says, "We from now on, we've decided we're not going to regard anyone from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, Paul says, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. And all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, this is a key phrase, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What are you going to devote yourselves to? Paul says, devote yourselves. What are you going to devote yourselves to? He says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. And we're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I love the urgency of this when he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. And then he gives just the most beautiful statement of the work of Christ. The person, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. But the way it starts, since we've been raised with Christ, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade other people. So let me just invite you. We've talked about this for weeks now. Jason brought us into it. We've just been hammering on it. Let's not make undue assumptions about one another. Do you have that part nailed down? Do you have that part nailed down in your heart? Have you come to fear the Lord? Do you know? Do you know what it is to have it in your heart? Jesus is my Savior. Do you know what it is to have it in your heart? Jesus is my Lord. Not just to believe, but to belong to Jesus. Because if you do, there's a certain devoting of yourselves that is called for. If you've come to that place where you see, I believe in Jesus. I do. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I've asked Jesus to make me his. Write my name in your book, right? Jesus, I do believe in Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Now, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and wait for you to make me the person you've called me to be. And Paul says, no, it's not a passive pursuit. Devote yourselves to prayer. So let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And Sarah, take us through this again as I read this passage. It's just four short verses. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And you be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. I've got that underlined in my Bible. Outsiders. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation, I love this imagery, let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. He says, here's what you need to devote yourselves to. Here's what you need to devote yourselves. You need to devote yourself to this right now relationship with God that is always watchful and thankful. You need to devote yourselves to finding your tribe and praying urgently and diligently for the people who are driven by the same things you're driven by, who value what you value, who preach the same message that you're choosing to live by, and have this heart for people who are outside, who just don't get it yet. Oh, because God is not done with anyone you'll see today. God is not done with anyone you will see today. So I want us to just walk through these and just sort of dissect a little bit these verses, just phrase by phrase a little bit. So for instance, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, when he says, devote yourselves to prayer, here's where my mind goes, okay? And I'm giving you more of a devotional reading than a scholarly reading on this, but I just want you to go with me. When Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, I think what he's saying is, figure out how to live in an ongoing conversation with God. Figure out how to live in such a way that you are connecting with God in a worshiping life. You may say to yourself, well, you know, when I come to church on Sunday, I love the worship. And by that, you mean the music. And praise God, because it is very worshipful. It invites you to worship. It leads you to worship. But that's not worship. Worship either happens or doesn't in your heart. Worship either happens or not inside of you. And can I tell you something? It doesn't just happen when there's a soundtrack. It also happens when you're riding a good horse. Amen? Amen. It also happens when you're loving your wife. It also happens when you're doing what God has gifted you for, what God has made you good at. And as you do it, you sense the smile of God on your life. I experience God in Haley's cooking. I do. I experience God. I experience God when I see people who are just doing what they were created for. Can I get an amen on that? And so when he says, look, devote yourselves to prayer, You pray and you express yourself to the Lord out loud. But there are also times when you're expressing yourself to the Lord in the privacy of your own heart. And there are times when you're expressing yourself to the Lord through the craft of your hands. And there are times when you're expressing yourself to the Lord, as Doug is mowing the churchyard to the glory of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Devote yourselves to prayer. And that's not just when you're kneeling down with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Don't neglect bowing down with your head bowed and your eyes closed. But don't limit your life of prayer and your life of worship to that. Invite God into the dailiness of your life. Lord, come and go with me. Come and go with me as I raise my kids. Come and go with me as I go about the dailiness of my life. That conversational intimacy with God with an awareness. God, you're here. God, you're here. God, you're here. And I love how he goes on. He says, as you devote yourselves to prayer, watchful and thankful. I've got those words circled in my Bible. Watchful and thankful. In other words, Lord, I'm looking for you in my life. I'm looking for you in my day. I'm listening for you. I'm listening for you in the conversations that I have. I'm watching for you to show up. I'm looking to see the hand of God. I'm looking to see the move of God. I'm looking to see the plan of God unfold in my life. 1 year for Vacation Bible School, we invited the kids to go back and come the next night and tell us about your God sightings. Remember that one? Tell us about your God sightings. Where did God show up in your life? Man, if we could teach it to our kids, if our kids, we could cultivate an awareness of the hand of God and the move of God and the plan of God in their lives, if our kids could learn how to have God sightings, oh, but you're not too old of a dog to pick up that trick. Maybe you could invite the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give me eyes to see? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give me ears to hear? Would you give me a heart to respond to and recognize the voice of God, the move of God, the plan of God in my life? Because here's what I know. God's always speaking. I'm just not always listening. That's not altogether true. I am always listening. But it's not always God's voice that comes out most clearly. Can anyone relate? Is anyone else not going to lie about it? You know, because isn't it true? There are always voices. There are always moments. But they're not always from the Lord. Sometimes it's the enemy of your soul who's trying to lead you down a path. Sometimes it's the voice of old shame. Sometimes it's the voice of old bitterness. Sometimes it's the voice of disappointment. So who knows how many voices there might be? But Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give me the kind of eye and the kind of touch that knows the counterfeit from the real thing, right? That's what he means when he says being watchful and thankful. And I love the way he says it. He says, and pray for us too. While you're at it, pray for us too. I love that because in my experience, there are an awful lot of us who've been around the Jesus stuff for a while, and we don't wind up, we don't ask people to pray for us very often, right? And we'll pray for you. In fact, we'll invite you to give us opportunity to pray for you. Write it on the card. We'll pray for you in staff meeting. But precious ones, you need the prayer too. I need the prayer too. I love the way Paul says, if anybody's got their act together, right? It's the Apostle Paul. But he says, look, pray for us too. Devote yourselves to prayer. And while you're at it, pray for us too. Because we're all in a fight. We're all in a battle together. We're all in this together, and I need the intercession just like you need the intimacy. So pray for us too, Paul says. Pray for us too. Connect around what matters. Find the people who treasure what you treasure. Find the people who value what you value. And you may say, well, you're just saying, come be part of our church. I am. But within even the confines of this room, there are some people whose heart beats like your heart beats. There are some people who are fired up by what you're fired up by. And honestly, there are some people just right across the aisle from you, in front of you or behind you, who are hearing the Lord speak to them about a different set of things And it's when we all come together as a body of Christ and you bring what's important to you and I bring what's important to me, and together we see God's kingdom come and God's will being done. But there are times when you look and you say, I just want to find somebody whose heart beats like mine. And I want to join hearts with a brother like that. I want to join hearts with a sister like that. Paul says, pray for us too. It's a mystery. Pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. It's more art than science. It really is. What works for you today may not work in the same way tomorrow. What works for you may not work for me, but we keep pressing in and pressing on and saying, Lord, open the door. Lord, show up. Great mystery of God, fill me, right? Pray for us too. And while you're at it, Paul says, pray that we might have this open door to share the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. It's worthy of sacrifice. Paul says, I'm willing to go to jail for it, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And then he says this in verse 5, he sort of shifts the focus. Devote yourself to prayer. Pray for us too. He says, and while you're praying about your own time with the Lord, while you're praying for us too, don't forget to pray for people outside. It just seems to me that in our polarized generation and culture, we could easily look at the people outside as the enemy. And honestly, we have an enemy. We have an enemy of our soul who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And sometimes the enemy is so active in the lives of people that we begin to see them as the enemy. But can I tell you something? There is no one drawing a breath on planet Earth today for whom Jesus did not die. There is no one drawing a breath on planet Earth today. No one you will see in a restaurant, on TV. There is no one that you will encounter today who's drawing breath for whom the gospel is not the greatest good news they could ever own. So, while you're devoting yourself to prayer, while you're praying for us too, beware that you are an ambassador for Christ. You are an agent of reconciliation. And the people in your life, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? The people in your life that you may have all but given up on, he's too far gone, you may say. She'll never change her ways. He'll never change his mind. He's too far gone. The addiction is too strong. The chains are too thick. The prison bar is too well guarded. But Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. The very fact that God has made you love him tells me that God has not given up on him. The very fact that God has put her on your heart tells me that she is also on the heart of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't give up. So you pray for those outsiders that they would become insiders. You pray for those seekers that they would become finders in Jesus. Be wise in the way you act toward the outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Man, are you ever aware of opportunities that have slipped through your fingers? I am. I don't say that to layer some guilt on you. I don't. I'm just telling you, take a risk. Take a risk. Open your heart, open your mouth to the people you love and care about. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe this is a moment to repent of the ways that I've allowed my heart and my words to become more judgmental than grace-filled. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. There is a judge, but it's not you. and it's not me. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Lord, in Jesus' name, that we could become agents of reconciliation, ambassadors of grace, people who hold out the message, not hold out a stiff arm, but an open arm. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Precious ones, will you stand with me while I just remind you that this will not happen passively. There is a choice for you and for me to make when it comes time to say, Lord, I want to be an instrument in your hand. Lord, I want to press in to know you and be known by you. I want to press in to find my people who treasure what I treasure. I want to be an instrument in your hands to bring the people that I love and I long for to know you. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I want to devote myself. I want to devote myself to living this God-centered life, treasuring the people you bring into my life, giving and receiving grace.